Yes, Jesus. Your name be glorified above all. Jesus, today we are here and it's with a thankful and a joyful heart. You have risen. You are alive. And because of that, your name is great and all glory comes to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are welcome to take your seats. So for those of you that have joined us over the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about this new life that's waiting for us. So this morning, I'd like to start by showing you a photo of this cookie tin. And most of you know this cookie tin. You either have one of your own, or maybe your grandmother's mother had one. But somewhere in your childhood, you've seen one of these. And the excitement that you had for the cookies in here was great. So you also knew where your mom or your grandmother would hide it. So you would get a chair, and you would put it against the counter, climb up, and grab this cookie tin. And with excitement, you open it up, and to your surprise, you find this. A cookie tin full of sewing stuff. And the utter heartbreak and shattering hope that we've experienced seeing these things in a cookie tin, of all places, is just crazy. But you see, that is how expectation works. Whether it's good or bad expectation, in life, we might feel like we are hopeful and something might change. We have this expectation of something good to come. And then to our surprise, it completely changes. The same way the other way around. Sometimes we are heartbroken and discouraged and we don't see a way out. We don't see something happening. But God. So in Matthew 28, verse 5 to 6, we see Mary Magdalene and the other Mary coming to the tomb. They're coming to wash Jesus. And as they get there, there was this violent earthquake, and this angel showed up. And he's dressed in white, and he's glowing. And the stone was rolled away. The guards that were there were so terrified, they fainted. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for he is not here, he is risen, just like he said he would." And the angel tells Mary Magdalene and Mary, "Go out, go tell the disciples of what you saw, for it is true." And with the joy, the Marys ran, and they told the disciples. So they came to the grave, expecting something, but got something completely different. They came to the grave expecting death, expecting sorrow, but instead, they received life. You see, in that time, the people expected Jesus to come, but to do something completely different. They expected him to come save them from Rome, to give them their power back, and to fix what was broken around them. But what Jesus came to do was something far more than they have ever expected. He came to not fix only the things that were broken around them, but to fix what was broken within them, to fix the sin and the hurt, to restore them. So when we look at the reality of the resurrection, we know that it's not just an event, it's not just a metaphor, it's not just a feel-good story we tell that's part of our Christian faith. It's historical and it's a real event. And as we look at it, we can know that everything that our faith stands on this truth, that Jesus is alive. But if we looked at it differently, if Jesus did not rise, there would not be forgiveness. There would not be hope. There would be no victory for us. So maybe you sit here this morning and you need to ask yourself, do I believe that Jesus rose, or do I just know about it? Because knowing about the resurrection and believing in the resurrection are two completely different things. Knowing informs my mind, but believing and walking in that power transform my whole life. So when we look at the power of the resurrection, we read in Romans 6, verse 4 to 9, we were buried in baptism as Christ was buried in death. And as Christ was raised from the dead by the great power of God, so we will have new life also. If we have become one with Christ in his death, we will become one with him in being raised from the dead to new life. We know that our old self and our old life was nailed to the cross with Christ, and so the power of sin that held us was destroyed. Sin is no longer our boss. When a man is dead, he is free from the power of sin. And if we have died with Christ, we believe we will live with him also. Verse 9 says, we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He will never die again. Death has no more power over him. Romans 8, verse 11 says, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And if the same Holy Spirit lives in you, he will give life to your bodies in the same way. The power of the resurrection enables us to have that same power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to each and every one of us sitting here. The moment we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, we can start to walk in the power. We walk in the power over sin. We don't have to stay stuck anymore. Those addictions, the mindset, those old habits that you can't seem to get away from. The moment that you accept the power and you start walking in it, you have power over sin. Because of Jesus, we can defeat the sin in our life. Secondly, we have power over fear. Fear is often the determinator of our faith. Why? Because we have fear of the future. We have fear of failure. We fear what people think of us, what they might say. And fear often controls how we act around people. It controls the chances that we choose to take. And it even controls those dreams that God has placed in your heart that you give up because of the fear that it might just never happen. But when we accept the Holy Spirit, we can walk in power. Like it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's the promise that Jesus has for us, to walk in that power. We don't have to stay stuck and stay afraid. It also means that we have power over death because of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? And because of that, the power that we have over death is the hope that Jesus brought. It's the hope that we have in eternal life with him. It's the hope that death is no longer the end for us, that we will one day be reconciled with the Father in heaven. We will one day share in his glory and experience that for ourselves. So the resurrection doesn't only give us power, but it needs a response. John 11:25 says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. So we know that looking at the resurrection, looking at the crucifixion, we can't stay neutral. We need to respond to that invitation. And usually when it comes to the time of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, we often respond in three ways. First up, you might sit here and you are very excited for the food that you're going to have. You're very excited for the family time that you're going to spend together, or the traditions, the specific traditions that you have on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. But sometimes we cloud our mind with all of the things, our big to-do list of where to fit everybody in, what food to make, what traditions to do where, that we completely forget about the message. We forget that Jesus came, he died. He was dead for 3 days and we are free. We might spend a while thinking about that, but we try to get back to the food and the family and the fun. So in a way, we ignore the message. We ignore the significance that was bought for us. Secondly, you might sit here and you might think, okay, I know this, but I think it's not for me. We doubt. We doubt the crucifixion. We doubt the resurrection because we have this thing in our mind that thinks, you know what, Jesus died for everyone else. He died for a specific group, but just not me. Or maybe you might sit here and think, I am a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord. I'm trying my best, but I just can't seem to shake the sin. I just can't seem to shake the addiction. And because I'm still stuck in that, it can't be true. We act like Thomas. I need to see it to believe it. He wanted to see the nail markings in Jesus' hands before he believed. And most of the time, that's how we act when we are stuck in doubt. The third way that we can respond was like the disciples. They believed. The disciples understood that the resurrection isn't only something that needed to be accepted. It required something else. It required a life of complete surrender. The moment that they chose Jesus, they left everything. They left the nets, they left their families, and they followed him. They understood that the purpose was much bigger. So maybe you sit here and you're stuck in one of the three. You're either on the good side, meaning that you're believing. Maybe you just haven't surrendered quite yet. Maybe you sit here and you dream about the food and the family and the traditions and you tend to ignore. Maybe you sit here and you think, I can't do this. It can't be for me. It's for everyone else, but just not for me. You might be stuck in doubt. Today, you can celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. Because of that, your past is not final. Your past does not determine the future that you will have. Thanks to Jesus, we can have new life. We can have a new future. You are not alone. You might sit there and think, nobody understands. I can't talk to anybody. You are not alone. God is with you. He knows the struggle that you're facing. So how can we respond in a better way? How can we become like the disciples and actually believing and walking in the power of the resurrection? First up, we can receive the new life that we just read about in Romans 6. The moment that we choose Jesus, transformation happens. We cannot stay the same. And when that transformation happens, it changes everything. Those addictions, those lies, the sin, they are all changed. So stop waiting and fixing yourself to be okay to be before God. Stop trying to do this first and, you know, get rid of this sin and stop believing this lie before you come to God. Just come as you are. He already knows who you are. He's the one that created you. The things that you want to hide, he knows about it. The things you think you do in secret, it's not a secret to God. But recognize the call that he has to bring you closer to him. If you're going to wait until you're completely clean and washed and rid of sin, you're going to wait forever. because that's not something that we can do here on earth. With the power of God, he can transform us little by little and help us to look more like him each and every day. So receive and accept this invitation to the new life that he is calling you to. Secondly, choose to live differently. You know, in your daily life, there are specific routines and behaviors and acts that you do. But living differently pushes you to make choices that are good, make choices that are wise. It pushes you to make those choices that glorify God. Be a good human. Be a follower of Christ. Receive the new life and choose to live differently. And lastly, the worship team, you can come up so long. It's to share the gospel. The gospel is far too important to keep quiet. Some of us, if not all of us, sitting here somewhere have experienced God's love, his grace, his patience, his provision. Somewhere in our lives, you have a story where God has came through for you. My invitation to you is use that as your testimony. Use that as your stepping stone to show the people around you who God is and what he has done. Glorify his name by doing that. Because everyone that sits here, you are called. You are sent by God. He knows the future that he has for you. You just need to allow him to open it up. So this morning as we sit here, we are excited. We are joyful. We are grateful for what Jesus did on the cross. Because of the fact that we are joyful, is the tomb is empty. I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to try to figure out if we're excited about that. The tomb is empty. Yes. That's something that we need to be excited about, because it means that Jesus is alive. He's not there anymore. He overcame death. What is your expectation of the resurrection this morning? Are you sitting here and you think it's just another event to ignore? It's just going to pass by. Are you maybe doubting the power of the resurrection as you reflect on the sin and the fear that's in your life? You might think, "Oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't feel like your love is for me. I don't feel like you rose for me. You died for me." Maybe you sit here and you think you are ready to surrender everything that you are, to step into this new life that God has for you. Remember that our hope is based on a Savior who already defeated death. He is alive, and because of that life, all of us sitting here can have hope. We can have hope for a good future. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we can live with great expectation." So as we are coming forward for communion, and as we're going to spend some time, think about that great expectation that you have in your heart. What are you expecting God to do in your life? Where are you expecting him to move with the power of resurrection life? What is that thing that God wants to renew in you? What dreams does he want to give you? And as you come forward, just reflect on that. Reflect on the celebration that he is alive. He died for you, each and every one of you, and he loves you so much.